Hey, I gotta tell you something really quickly. Might not be so quickly. You guys have one of the coolest, most raddest, was a cool word back in the 80s when I was a teenager. You have one of the coolest, most raddest, most hippest student ministries I have ever seen. Check this out. So you guys come to church this morning. Did you have any idea that you guys would be coming to a mini dance party? I mean, check this out. Some of you have been really concerned for a long time about your friends that won't step foot inside the walls of a church for whatever reason. Can you imagine if you would go to your school on Monday or next Friday? Well, you're not going to school tomorrow, Memorial Day, yay. Next Friday and say, listen, you guys got to come to my church because it's the coolest thing. Sunday mornings, we dance. Do you think that would kind of get your friends maybe a little bit more interested in church? Maybe not. And then check this out. To make the dance party just a little thing, next week you guys get to come to church and get to have a block party outside. I mean, like I said, this is one of the coolest, most rad, most hippest student ministries that I have seen. So I hope you guys are thankful about that. I don't know if you guys consider it that way. It really was sad, though, standing back there this morning. First of all, are we allowed to use the word funky in church? Okay, all right, just check. I think we can. But it was really sad standing back there today because, I'm just a little too cool to dance. Plus, I'm from West Virginia, and the only dancing we really do is country line dance. Anybody country line dance? No? Some of you? Okay, all right. It was really sad standing back there today, and, I mean, part of me was jealous because I'm like, man, I wish I could bust a move like that. And then some of you guys, you just think that you're just too cool to get funky, don't you? Some of you boys. I mean, it was just like, I don't know if you're trying to impress the ladies or what's going on. But that was just really cool. I love being part of a student ministry in which people actually come and they're smiling and they're having a good time. Because you guys know how it is, especially on a Sunday morning. You've seen it. Maybe you have demonstrated this yourself personally, that sometimes on Sunday mornings you just don't feel like smiling. You're half asleep. This is a day in which you're supposed to be able to sleep in, not worry about school, things like that. And so many times over the years when I've walked into church on a Sunday morning, especially with teenagers, it's just depressing. Because you just tell by the look on their faces, either they're just having a really bad morning or this is the last place in which they want to be. And one of the great things that I really appreciate about the student ministry here at Reston Bible Church is the way the work that the staff and the volunteers do on a weekly basis, whether it's a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, to try to create an environment in which you feel like you belong, that you feel like you fit in, and that, you know what, it's okay to actually come to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and have a little bit of fun. I was just listening to something this morning on the radio coming here, and it was talking about joy. And how probably one of the biggest reasons that people choose not to be Christians today is because of other Christians. And that they're walking around and there's just no joy, there's no happiness in their life. So listening to that and then coming here this morning and being introduced to you guys having a dance party and laughing a little bit and stuff, it was a huge encouragement. And it's something that I have been able to witness for the last year since being here. On Wednesday nights, I was able to hang out a while back for Gap when we were over in the other building and stuff like that. So I hope that you guys are thankful for what you have here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Because there's a lot of teenagers across this country and across this world this morning that would love to be part of something like this. Now, I know that this student ministry is not perfect, and I know that there are probably some things that frustrate you, and you're just like, what's the point? But I think you guys would admit this morning, you got a pretty cool gig going on, don't you? And I hope that you will demonstrate that gratitude at times, for the people that are responsible for that. Well, I mentioned this youth group being, the student ministry being cool, and let me ask you a personal question here this morning. You can answer out loud if you want to, but based on what you're wearing right now, some of you need to look down and see exactly what you're wearing, because maybe you got dressed this morning in the dark, and you actually never stepped foot in front of a mirror to do that final check. But based on what you're wearing this morning, do you feel cool? Now, I don't really know what the definition of cool is. Everybody has their own definition of cool. But check this out. The reason some of you, yes, that was two hands. He cooled twice. The reason why I ask is because I don't want to be alone, because right now, I feel cool based on what I'm wearing. No, it's not my shoes. No, it's not my jeans I got from Walmart. No, it's not this hand-me-down shirt. It's not my Under Armour t-shirt. It's not the ridiculously short haircut that somebody just gave me yesterday. But I feel cool this morning. It has been a lifelong dream of mine for the last 10 years to wear a microphone like this. Let me tell you something. I feel cool right now. I really, really do. I can remember you got these big old microphones, and that was cool because after a while you could just hide behind that, and it kind of gave you a little bit of security from the people staring at you. And then they came out with this like gigantic thing that you still, I think Britney Spears still wears today when she's not singing, but wants you to think that she's singing. You got this big old thing, covers your face, and then you got these things. Or you had the things on here, and these were cool for a while, but then you got this. And let me tell you something. I don't think we have stuff like this in West Virginia yet. This is really cool. This is cool. So I appreciate the staff back there this morning making me feel cool, look cool. Now, I may not look cool to you, but I look cool to me. And I haven't even seen myself in a mirror. I don't need to see myself in a mirror to realize that I am cool. I am cool. So I really feel bad who's going to use this next, because there's probably a bunch of slobber and drool and stuff that's going to be on this later. So hopefully you guys can clean that off. So, hey, I'm really stoked to be here this morning. And really, really thankful that I got to wake up this morning and realize I was going to get to hang out with you all for a little bit. So I hope that you're glad that you're here as well. It's been brought to my attention over the last couple weeks that you guys have been kind of doing a little journey through the book of 1 Timothy. And I understand that some of the seniors have stepped up the last couple weeks and have said, yep, this might scare me to death to do, but I'm going to step up and I'm going to try to encourage my peers with some things from the Word of God. And kudos to you seniors for doing that. That is a big deal. You guys realize not anybody and everybody can stand up here, or in this case, sit up here and talk to a bunch of teenagers or talk to a bunch of people for a half hour. It's just nerve-wracking for some. And so for those of you seniors, just real quick, seniors, if you were part of this last couple weeks, raise your hand real quick. Excellent. Hey, can we give them a round of applause real quick? Excellent. Excellent. Not to pat them on the back or to draw attention to them or put them on this, you know, holy stool or whatever, but it's just a big deal. And that's one of the beautiful things about a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, trying to do what the Bible says student ministry, is that it's just not all about the people that are paid to get up here to talk, but it's about equipping you to be able to come up and to be able to do the same thing, whether it's in front of a huge audience or in front of your best friend, and to communicate the truth. So those of you who have done that the last couple weeks, thank you. It takes a lot of guts, and I'm sure that God was able to use you and to encourage you. But 1 Timothy, it's a pretty incredible book. Some parts of 1 Timothy can be downright confusing. Some parts of 1 Timothy, when you start reading some of it, you just kind of scratch your head, like 1 Timothy chapter 5 this morning, just like, okay, it's in the Bible, but, and I know it's important because things that are in the Bible are important, but really, what am I supposed to do with this? And we'll get into that here in a minute. But as you're studying, as you're thinking about reading through 1 Timothy, I am amazed, I am blown away. Because Paul is talking, he's writing a letter to Timothy, and you guys probably already realize this, so excuse me if this is a review right now. But Timothy has been given a huge responsibility in ministry to kind of be the spiritual leader, the pastor, the leader of the church in Ephesus. Now, I'm not for sure how many churches were in Ephesus. Maybe this was the only one, at least the only one that was solid in its biblical teaching. But when Paul is writing this letter to Timothy as the leader of this church in Ephesus, you got to realize that it had only just been 60 years ago that Jesus went to the cross. Just 60 years ago. Now, you might be thinking 60 years, that's a long time. But it really wasn't. And so it had only been a little bit since the church, what was known as the church, got started. You know, back in Acts chapter 2, you have Peter, and he just comes off with this awesome message, this awesome sermon, basically just telling people about his experience with Jesus and telling how Jesus, yep, he really died, and not only did he die, but he really came back to life. I saw him. And listen, he's the only way in which you can get to God. He is the only one that can make your sins disappear. As a result of Peter speaking with conviction and with passion and the working of the Holy Spirit, in which a lot of people at that time had no idea what the Holy Spirit was or what it did, 3,000 people in one day accepted Christ. And they went back and they just started talking about what they heard from Peter. And they just tried to begin to understand what exactly Jesus Christ was doing when he was here on earth. And they were trying to understand what they could do with what they know and to put that into practice to where other people in their community could find out. And in Acts it says that numbers were added daily to the church. And so all of a sudden you go from nothing to where maybe people are going to synagogue every week and they're just doing basically the same stuff because that's what they're supposed to do as a good Jew. But then you have these Gentiles that know nothing about religion and things like that. And all of a sudden they got this Jesus thing in them and it's changed them. And all they can do right now is just talk about it. That they just wanted to hang out with other people on a daily basis. And they go back and all of a sudden you have this regular gathering, the church. Now see, you guys have had church for a long time. You guys basically understand the whole purpose of the church. You really take probably what you have here on a Sunday morning for granted. You probably don't really even try to understand specific reasons why this church does specific things. As a teenager, I really could care less. I just took it for granted. Yep, I show up for 2 hours on Sunday morning, clock in, clock out. Wednesday night for 2 hours, clock in, clock out. I did my Christian duty for the week. And I really did not pay much attention to what really goes into a local church and its functions. And so with this church, specifically in Ephesus, with it still being so young, they had their problems. They were disorganized. And one of the biggest problems, I think this is something that you guys talked about a couple weeks ago, one of the biggest problems that this church in Ephesus had, because it was so young and because still the message of Jesus and the cross was still rather young and new to people, that there was a lot of people in Ephesus going around and saying stuff about faith and religion that contradicted what the truth was. The Bible calls them false teachers. And Paul gets wind of this, and because Paul loves God and because Paul loves Timothy and because Paul loves other people, he thought, man, I got to say something about this. I got to step up and warn these people. I got to remind these people what the truth is, because this is just not cool. I'm thinking about Timothy. He's in the middle of this, and he's probably thinking, by the way, Timothy was young. I don't know exactly how young he was at this time. Maybe in his 20s. Wasn't really respected in his community because of his youth. They didn't think he knew much. Why would they respect him as a leader? And Paul's like, I got to do something to encourage my bro, my buddy, somebody that Paul would consider his son. And so Paul writes Timothy a letter, hence 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And it's all about specific instructions for the local church there in Ephesus. Finally, as Timothy would be able to communicate to the church in Ephesus, finally, they had an idea and understanding of what the local church was supposed to look like, how it was supposed to function. And again, it's worth repeating. Do we today, with the church being around for so long, do we really take into consideration of what the church is supposed to look like? Do we really take into consideration of how the local church is supposed to function? Do you have a desire to have instruction on what this student ministry is supposed to look like? Or do you, as an individual, just sit back on cruise control and just rely on the professionals to do their thing and not pay any attention to it? Just a question. Let me tell you something. I was there. And then as a youth pastor and as a missionary and just loving hanging out with students, I have spent a long time talking with teenagers that want nothing to do with the local church, and they have their reasons why. And then when I see a passage, a book in the Bible like 1 Timothy, in which it's clear instructions and how much of an encouragement that the church in Ephesus needed for this. I mean, Paul's telling them, warning about false teachers, and that was a big deal. Paul is telling them specifically instructions in worship when you guys are meeting together. This is how things should be done. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to encourage the church in Ephesus as far as what to look for in leaders, elders, deacons. Those are two church words, and you guys no doubt have heard about them, but do you really understand the role and responsibility of an elder? Let alone, do you even care? That's not something I need to worry about right now as a 16-year-old, maybe 30 years from now. Maybe my husband will be an elder, or maybe I'll be a deacon. Do you really think about that stuff? Can you even explain why there is reason for an elder? See, the people in Ephesus, I imagine, were struggling with the same things. And Paul said, enough is enough. I got to tell these people. I got to encourage my bro Timothy because he is just really, he's getting it right now. People are just attacking him. People don't know what they're supposed to believe. People think that they believe something, but they don't really know why they believe it. Is that the case with you? You know what you believe, but you're not really for sure why you believe it? Kind of maybe something that you're just hiding behind with your parents' faith? And I just want to encourage you through God's word that it does not have to be like that. As the church in Ephesus definitely needed encouragement, they needed instruction on how to do this so that God would be pleased. That is exactly what you need to be seeking as well as a student ministry. And not to just depend on the grown-ups. This is your student ministry. This is yours. And it is so important as a child of God, if you have a personal relationship with Him, to understand His purpose for the local church. And for you not just to understand it, but for you to say, you know what, I'm part of it, and I'm going to do something to make sure that God is glorified. That's not something that you just wait to do when you're in big church. That's something that you can do and put into practice now. And some of you as seniors, you've tried to do that, and that's an awesome thing. High five to you guys. And may that become contagious. Then you come to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and that's where we're going to go for the remaining minutes here this morning. We're not going to take time to do an in-depth study, but I wanted to say what I've said for the last 15 minutes to catch us up to this point. Just in case it hasn't been communicated that the whole purpose of 1 Timothy was to encourage Timothy, the leader there, and to encourage that small gathering of what the local church is supposed to look like, warnings, instructions. And man, that's really what we need as Christians. We need to pay attention to the warnings that God gives us. We need to pay attention to the instructions that God gives us. But so many times, we ignore the warnings. And so many times, we don't care about the instructions. That's true with me. And I have paid a dear price over the years by ignoring the warnings. And I have become a fool by not caring about the instructions. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, let's go there real quick in the time that we have here, because it's really not about what Scott Braley has to say, it's about what God's word has to say. So I've probably talked a little bit too much. 1 Timothy chapter 5, there's two groups of people that Paul is talking to Timothy in a church in Ephesus about right now. It's widows and elders. In one chapter, kind of the extreme of two. Widows, yep, there's issues back then with widows. And some of you are like, well, Scott, widows, I mean, okay, I already know what you're going to say. Widows, we're supposed to take care of them. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to encourage them. We're supposed to care for them. And you know what? You are exactly right. But to give you an idea of how dysfunctional maybe this church was in Ephesus, there were widows that were going to this church. Maybe they had nothing to do with that church at the time, but then they're in this situation, and all of a sudden they don't have money. And so you know what? They're thinking, oh, there's that new place down the road. I heard that they give money away. So I think I'll just get involved in that for a little bit. And then there were some that were genuinely in need. And Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, listen, I want to warn you about these ones that are just scamming you. That they're really all about just wanting. You need to be careful with that. You need to train your people on how to deal with situations like this. As a youth pastor, I can remember getting knocks on our church door in Chicago. And so usually I would go answer it. We had a doorbell, whatever, so go. And so many times we had people, and as soon as you look at them, you know exactly what's going to come out of their mouths. And they explain their story to you. And even though you've heard the story so many times, and you're standing there and you're just like, okay, what does God want me to do, and what do I feel like doing? Because sometimes there's a contradiction for me with that. And you just hear these stories, and but then in the back of your mind, you're just wondering, are they scamming me? There's really interesting people coming for money, and they explain why they need money, for groceries, for gas. They're hungry. They need diapers, baby food, whatever. And those are big, that's a big deal. What Christian in their right mind that represents Christ is going to say no to that? And as you hear their story, I'm like, okay, well, listen, you need food. Hey, we're right down from McDonald's. Take you to McDonald's. Get you guys whatever you want. I'll take you. No, that's okay. We're in a hurry. Okay, need groceries. Right, that was really cool how convenient our location of our church was. Right down the road from a McDonald's, across the street from a Mega Super, from a grocery store. Okay, I'll take you. I will use my own money, yay me, super Christian, to buy you groceries for a week. No, that's okay. We're in a hurry. Can we just have money? We need gas. Okay, right in the beside the gas the grocery store is a gas station. I will take you to your car. I will fill your car up. I will get you a gift card for that gas station so that you can have gas. No, that's okay. I'm in a hurry. And you're just sitting here just like, okay, well, how am I supposed to respond? What's going on? And the church in Ephesus is kind of dealing with the same thing here. Not a need for gas or whatever. But there are some widows that were coming in and trying to take advantage. And then there are some that were in real need. And check this out. Let me just read here. First Timothy chapter 5 says this. Verse 3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion, I love that, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people those instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Now, can anybody explain what I just read? That's okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but I appreciate it. Are you telling the truth, or are you just trying to be? Okay, very good. All right. That's a mouthful right there. And I just got to think, okay, you're sitting here and you're reading this, and you're like, what? Local church, we've been getting scammed, but yet how do we discern? And Paul's saying, this is how you discern. And he gives them a list of things to look for. This may not sound like a big deal to you at Reston Bible Church. You probably have no idea if anybody even comes and knocks on the doors of this church during the week. You're probably not going to hear those stories. Maybe you're even wondering, what does the church do in that situation? Check this out. If someone right now walked in and they just reeked, and you just knew that they were not wearing cool stuff, okay? That there was just something not right, that they were in need. What would you do? Not the person beside you, but what would you do? Would you just wait for Pastor Bob or Chuck or Jillian to get up and do something? Would they even do anything? The church in Ephesus, they had these situations specifically with widows. And they had to discern, were they getting played or was this real? They needed instruction. And so Paul tries to lay it out for them. Now, granted, we all understand that the Christian response is to help people. And you know what? That is the right response. We do. And I know that this student ministry does a lot in the area of reaching out to people that are less fortunate. It's something that the leaders plan and initiate, but it's not going to happen unless you get on board. And I have seen this student ministry in action, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Some of you are stoked about this summer and what you're going to be doing mission trip-wise. And it sounds like from that point of view, you get it. But I just wonder, is it really only something that you limit to when you're doing it as a student ministry? Or is that something that you're willing to do? Is that something that you're sensitive about when you're out on your own? When you're out with your unsaved friends? Now, I'm not here this morning to give you a guilt trip, okay? Sometimes the church does a good job with getting people guilt trips. But I want you all to understand, and I think you guys do, of just how sensitive and how important we need to be paying attention to people that are in need. Because, man, we may be their only hope to Jesus Christ. And we love them and we serve them and we help them out with wisdom and discernment, not just throwing money at them. We help them out because we want them to understand at least a little bit that Jesus loves them. And one of the biggest ways in which people today understand that Jesus loved them is through our love for them. And Paul's like, these widows, yes, reach out to them, love them, provide them a place, a home, provide them family, provide them community, take care of their needs. But listen, you got to pay attention to those that are just out to get you. And that was a major problem. And then Paul goes from widows to now elders. And how that as a church, they're supposed to respect the elders, to look up to the elders. They're supposed to love the elders. Even goes on to say you're supposed to provide for the elders, that you're supposed to pay them for what they do, because the job that they have in the church is huge as spiritual leaders. I'm just curious. Can any of you name one elder in this church? Okay, some of you can, yes. Okay, and it doesn't count if they're your dad. Okay? All right? Okay? Can any of you tell me how many elders there are in this church? Well, Dan, you just know everything this morning. Good job, Dan. I appreciate that. All right? You got the deacons. Does this church have deacons? Okay, practice, okay. All right, that's more important. Who cares about the title as long as you're actually doing it? But here's the thing. As students, you just might think, I just don't need to worry about that. Let me ask you this, to make it, bring it more practical. Do you know every name of every adult volunteer in the student ministry? Dole. They're not elders. What was that? Talking about elders here, not about volunteers. The point is, and the church in Ephesus had this problem with respecting their elders and even trying to understand how they're supposed to treat them. Widows, church leaders. First of all, you need to care about this. Second of all, this is how you should care about this. And also pay attention, because some of these church leaders, they get caught up in sin. And when they get caught up in sin, how are you supposed to deal with them? That's a whole other thing. And again, as you look through the book of 1 Timothy, it's all about this young church, maybe not even 60 years old yet, probably much younger, this young leader not being able to take for granted what you guys already have here and thinking, we're in trouble. We're not even for sure what we're supposed to believe in right now about Jesus. And Paul says, I got you covered. Timothy, this is what I want you to do with this church in Ephesus. All right, look back on that clock, and my time is up. Got two questions for you. Here, some of the questions are on your tables. Others, I underestimated the amount of tables, and I did not have enough. So if your round table does not have a question, a little piece of paper, let me just read these to you real quick. all right? And I want you guys to really get into this here, okay? This is a time for you guys to really think about this stuff and just not sit back and think, just not a big deal. Check this out. Question number one. All right, here we go. What are some specific ways in which you can seek instruction and guidance when it comes to your walk with Christ? You're like, Bradley, what do you mean? As Paul is trying to provide instruction to this church, I want you to begin to think about and discuss this with your peers at your table. What are some specific ways in which you as an individual can seek instruction in your walk with Jesus Christ? If that is a big deal to you, what can you do to feed that? All right? 5 minutes later, we'll talk about number two. So question number one, go. All right. And good talks I'm hearing. Real quick here. Give me three ways in which you've heard someone say or you have said, three ways in which you can receive instruction and guidance in your walk with Christ. Give me three of them. Ways. Yeah. Small group leaders. Okay, good. I like that. Yay, small group leaders. Number two. Yeah. I'm sorry? Bible. That's correct. The Bible. Yes. Good. Number three. Wait a minute. Let's go back to that real quick here. Let's go back to what do you mean by Bible? What do you mean? Those of you who said Bible, what do you mean by that? Hey, who said Bible? What do you mean by Bible? I'm sorry? Just looking and reading through it. Absolutely. I mean, that's a start, isn't it? That's a start. Number three. Yep. Oh, I like that. Parents, really? Seriously? All right. I get other believers, but parents, you're exactly right. All right, let's throw in a freebie. Give me a fourth one. Daniel. Dan.
Seek out a teacher you can talk to.
Oh. Ah. Ooh, deep. All right, real quick here. Good question number two. All right, here we go. This is getting down to the core of it. What are some specific ways in which this student ministry, now we're thinking corporate as a whole, what are some specific ways in which this student ministry can, number one, love, encourage, and care for people who are in need? Okay? Number two, love, encourage, and support the church leaders of Reston Bible Church. Remember the first, what the original question is. What are some specific ways in which this student ministry, you're part of the student ministry. So what can you do to love and encourage those who are in need, love, encourage, and support church leaders at Reston Bible Church? Go. All right. I know I didn't give you the full time here. Sorry about that. But I appreciate what I'm hearing as far as discussions. And I really hope that, especially with the second question, first question, obviously, too. But you guys will continue to think about these, okay? And really try to understand how you put them into practice. And from the instruction that you get in your walk with Christ, to putting that into practice, caring for other people, those in need. Start paying attention to church leaders in this church. Not in the area of staring at them, but to be praying for them and understand what you can do as a student ministry, encourage them. All right, before I remove my coolness, let me close this in a word of prayer, and we'll get out of here. God, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for Reston Bible Church. Thank you for the leaders of this church, and God, for the instruction that you have given to them in the area of how to lead us and to encourage us and to train us, Lord, and to equip us in your word. God, I thank you for the leaders of this student ministry, for the love that they have for you, for the love, Lord, that they have for these students. And God, I can't help but think about people that are not here today but desperately need to be here based on the needs that they have, whether physical needs or spiritual needs. And Lord, the church really is one of the very first places these people should run to for help. And may this church, may this student ministry work hard, Lord, to love these people, to look for opportunities from you, to be able to reach out to them, and to put, as 1 Timothy says, religion into practice. Lord, we just have so much to be thankful for in you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to read it, and Lord, help us to understand it, and help us, Lord, to put it into practice on a daily basis. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys very much. Happy Memorial Day.